This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
وهو الذي أنزل من السماء ماء فأخرجنا به نبات كل شيء فأخرجنا منه خضرا نخرج منه حبا متراكبا ومن النخل من طلعها قنوان دانية وجنات من أعناب والزيتون والزيتون والرمان مشتبها وغير متشابه انظروا إلى ثمره إذا أثمر وينعه إن في ذلكم لآيات لقوم يؤمنون.
And he is the one who sends down rain from the sky, causing all kinds of plants to grow, producing green stalks from which we bring forth clustered grain. And from palm trees come clusters of dates hanging within reach. There are also gardens of grapevines, olives and pomegranates, similar in shape but dissimilar in taste. Look at their fruit as it yields and ripens. Indeed, in these are signs for people who believe. O servants of Allah and O children of Adam, I leave you with an introduction to your Lord. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وبه نستعين ونصلي ونسلم على خاتم النبيين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. واو ما شاء الله تبارك الله. Where to start سبحان الله. And not only with regards to your generosity ما شاء الله and your donations to the masjid to aid the masjid in its expansion for the sake of the community, but also subhanallah, we had Sheikh Mahir Mu'iqili with us today as we always, and then mashaallah Sheikh Dosari arrived as well. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. So it's been a unique evening, and not only that subhanallah, this evening we had a merge between Madani verses and Meccan verses, like two oceans coming together but without crossing each other, subhanallah. بَيْنَهُمَا بَرْزَخْ لَا يَبْغِيَانَ. A barrier between them that kept Makki and Madani. Subhanallah. Then throughout the reading of the Imams, universal laws are being thrown out one after the other. Honestly, I don't know where to start, but let's see if we can unpackage this and bring some benefit to all the wonderful lessons taught to us in the verses of the Quran that we heard today. As always, we begin in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we request praises and blessings upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we request our brothers, mashaAllah, who are leaving, to kindly leave quietly so that we don't affect those who are listening in earnest. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept this evening and to accept what has passed off our month. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us with the verses that He has allowed us to recite from His book this month of Ramadan. I guess let's start off with the universal principles. Because the seventh juz that we heard today brought together, as I said, the end of a Madani surah, and then it brought to us a Makki surah. So before we get to that, subhanAllah, three key principles that I benefited from the recitation of the Imams. The first one is in Surah Al-Ma'idah, and we heard this today. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, قُلْ لَا يَسْتَوِي الْخَبِيثُ وَالطَّيِّبُ وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَكَ كَثْرَةُ الْخَبِيثُ فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, and this is a universal principle, that say, O Muhammad, not equal are the evil and the good. Not equal is the truth and falsehood. Not good is, meaning not equal is belief and disbelief. وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَكَ. Even though abundant evil, abundant disbelief, abundant falsehood might impress you. Even though it might impress you, It can never be equal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَكَ كَثْرَةُ الْخَبِيثِ. Subhanallah. And it's as if Surah Al-Ma'idah is ending on this note to introduce to us the surah coming next, even though the surah coming next was revealed before Surah Ma'idah. Because you see in this verse, subhanallah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us that, O servant of Allah, the truth and that which is goodly is something which stands by itself. It has no inferiority complex. It doesn't matter what is trending. If falsehood trends and it pulls many followers behind it, it trends and has many admirers following it, it doesn't take away an iota's worth from the truth. The truth stands by itself, even if it has nobody standing with it. It doesn't need a trend. It doesn't need followers. It doesn't need a motion for the truth to be the truth. It stands by itself, subhanallah. And we will see the sentiment very strongly present in the verses of surah, the surah that comes after Al-Ma'idah, inshallah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals, He says, Subhana, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, also in Al-Ma'idah, addressing the believers, Alaykum anfusakum. This is a universal principle. It applies to each and every one of us. Just like the first. O believers, you are accountable only for yourselves. La yadurrukum man dhal idha ihtadaytum. Subhanallah. That those who go astray will not harm you if you remain rightly guided. Ila Allahi marji'ukum. Allah tells us, to Allah you will return, and Allah will present to you the net result of your deeds. And this has a connection to the first ayah that we spoke about. Again, that the truth stands by itself. The misguidance of people, even though they are many, it will not affect you negatively in the hereafter. Yes, maybe in the life of this world, there will be an impact, because when Allah lifts barakah, it affects everybody. But in terms of the real life, the life of the hereafter, it will never harm you. A lot of the times, we mention this logic. What do we say? We say, subhanallah, but everyone's doing it. But I feel like the odd one out. We, subhanallah, manufacture for ourselves the type of harm. As if, subhanallah, we are truly being harmed. This is a manufactured type of harm that we bring to ourselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, if you remain guided, you're not harmed in any capacity. Even if the trend love to be upon misguidance, they market misguidance, they pay for the social media ads to push out the misguidance. They might say, you're a strange person, get on with the times, you backwards, you're too extreme. Doesn't harm you in any capacity. If only you remain guided. This is another universal principle that the Quran is teaching us as we recite it. Principle number three. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals, and this is in Al-An'am, وَلَا تَسُبُّ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ فَيَسُبُّ اللَّهَ عَدْوًا بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ. Subhanallah, I was jotting these down as Sheikh Ridwan was presenting the tonight's fundraiser, and then at the end I managed to put the last one as well. As I was clicking and clocking these universal principles, there's more, but I will just share with you three, because three is a number that is palatable to each and every one of us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns the believers not to curse the idols of the disbelievers, not to curse those idols. Yes, those idols are false. Yes, they are full of misguidance. They represent and denote misguidance. All this is true, but do not curse them. Why? Because if you do, you will empower those of disbelief. You will empower those who are astray to curse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The harm will be greater than the harm given. The harm given in cursing the idols will necessitate a retaliation which is greater, meaning the true God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will be insulted by them. And this has many watered down applications in terms of how we live our lives today. And the scholars have deduced from this that دَرْءُ الْمَفْسَدَ مُقَدَّمٌ عَلَى جَلْبِ الْمَصْلَحَةِ. This is a principle in fiqh. The prevention of a harm takes precedence over the attainment of a benefit. That you going ahead and maybe insulting an idol, there's a benefit in it. But if the harm of doing so is greater than the benefit of doing so, then disregard the benefit. prevention of the harm takes precedence. And this again is a principle that applies to us in many levels in our lives. Because we're always faced with decisions. And decisions come with consequences. Should I take extra 5 minutes in the tafsir today or not? That's a decision that has to be made. And it comes with consequences. And then it becomes a balancing act. Is the benefit of taking the extra 5 minutes greater than the harm that will come as a result of it, or lesser than? This is just a simple example that I can give you firsthand. But I'm sure with us as well, we go through this with every motion of our days. Whether we're talking to our kids, how to address them, what tone to use, when to address them. Maybe it's with our spouse, and so on and so forth. These, subhanAllah, are universal principles that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals to us. Now, yesterday we spoke about the stories of Surah Al-Ma'idah. And we said there were three topical stories. And we left one for today. And that was the story of the Ma'idah. The story of the Ma'idah. Why? Because it was to be recited today. And our Imam Suhaib, he recited it in his portion of the Taraweeh. Surah Al-Ma'idah is named after the story. And remember the point about historical events. And simply, Imam Ibn Kathir, he mentions regarding the story and the backdrop to it, that Isa alayhi salam, with the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he commanded his people to fast for 30 days. To fast for 30 days. Sound familiar? Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu kutiba alaykum as-siyam kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum. Now we can see a connection between this surah and Al-Baqarah. Allah revealed in Baqarah that we commanded people before you to fast. Al-Ma'idah here is connected to that. And remember we said Al-Ma'idah is translated as the banquet of food. So the people fasted. And when they finished fasting, they went to Isa alayhi salam. And the story goes back to Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, the master Mufassir. The report goes back to him and others from the companions like Salman al-Farisi and also companions like Ammar ibn Yasir. So Isa commanded them to fast for 30 days. Obviously, this was an instruction from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When they did so, they came to Isa and they said, "Oh Isa, please ask Allah to send down for us a banquet from the heavens. A banquet that will denote a day of Eid for us. We will eat during this day, like we will on our day of Eid. Eid al-Fitr. Right? That we will eat during this day and it will be an Eid and it will be a sign that Allah has accepted our 30 days of fasting." So what did Isa alayhi salam do? Isa alayhi salam warned them. He didn't jump to this request. He said to his people, "Oh people, a gift like this, if Allah was to give it to us, it would come with a level of responsibility. If Allah gives you what you ask for, you will need to thank Allah. There will be a level of responsibility in terms of you towards Him that you may not be able to manage. And if you fail to manage it, then the punishment will come after it." But they insisted. They said, "No, please, go ahead and ask Allah for this." So Isa alayhi salam, after being persistently asked, they say he chose the best time and he humbled himself, even his clothing. And he turned to Allah in dua. وَتَضَرَّعَ, meaning he really lowered himself and humbled himself and teared in front of Allah, begging Allah to bring this banquet so it could be presented to his followers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted his dua and the banquet began to descend. And the scholars of tafsir who mentioned the story, they say Allah made it descend slowly between two clouds. And as it was descending, with every descension, Isa was saying, "Ya Allah, make this banquet be a mercy, not a punishment. Make this banquet be a mercy, not a punishment." This is how he feared, subhanAllah, Isa alayhi salam. And there's a lesson in this for us. Because we live, subhanAllah, amidst blessings. Not so? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would spend weeks and he would not eat except al-aswadan. Dates, and we know the ajwa date is black. The black dates of al-Madinah, the ajwa dates of al-Madinah, and water. Water is colorless. And this is an Arabic language approach. Al-aswadan, al-abiyadan, and so on and so forth. He would live off water and dates. Fire would not be lit in the home of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in our homes, fires are lit, not just a fire. And in the month of Ramadan, when we are fasting, look at these blessings. Isa is teaching us and Allah is teaching us through the story of the banquet that every meal you take, it comes with a responsibility. And that's why we should never forget to say Bismillah before we eat and Alhamdulillah alladhi at'amani hadha when we finish eating. Because if you fail in your show of gratitude to Allah for this food and blessings that He gives you, then after it is a punishment. And Allah says, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ at the beginning of Surah Ibrahim, لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ if you are thankful, I will increase for you. وَلَإِن كَفَرْتُمْ but if you are ungrateful, إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ my punishment is severe. In any case, Allah revealed it and it was covered. It reached the eye level of Isa. And Isa lifts the cover and subhanAllah, he sees different types of meat and fruits. What our youth today say, a healthy spread. This is exactly what it was. Now Isa called his people, those who were persistent, go and ask Allah for this banquet, and he said to them, eat. But they said, no, we won't eat until you eat. SubhanAllah. The difference between the followers of Musa and the followers of Isa. And Imam Suhaib, he began today's Taraweeh proceedings, or in Salat al-Isha, he read the portion of the Quran that we will speak about just now. That's connected to this. Allah differentiates between the followers of Musa and the followers of Isa. They said, no, we won't eat until you eat. Isa said, you were the ones who asked for it. I won't eat before you eat. You asked for this. And now it's come, you eat from it. They said, no, they were persistent. We won't eat until you eat. So Musa, Isa alayhi salam, he called the poor and the needy and the sick. He says, you come and eat. And they came and they started eating. And subhanAllah, there was so much barakah that the weak became strong and the sick became cured. And it is said that 1,300 came to eat. And the last one from them ate the same way the first one from them ate. That is the abundance that was present. And they said, when they spoke to Isa and they told him to go ask Allah for this food, Eidan li awwalina wa akhirina wa ayatan mink. An Eid, a banquet, a festival for the first of us and the last from us and a sign from Allah. And Allah exactly gave them that. The last one ate like the first. SubhanAllah. Now when this happened, those who didn't eat, they became a bit upset. They became upset. In any case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is kareem and generous. The next day He sent a banquet. And the next day He sent a banquet. And it is said that 8,000 people, around 8,000 people, would eat from this daily. SubhanAllah. And Isa alayhi salam would say, Bismillah khayra raziqeen. In the name of Allah, the best of sustainers. The best of providers. And then a time came when Isa said, right, now we don't want everyone to eat. We only want the first group to eat. Those who are sick, meaning those who fit that description. Weak and sickly. And when this happened, the hypocrites from amongst his followers, they became upset. And they began complaining and creating turbulence. And Allah lifted the barakah until the banquet stopped coming. And there's a lesson here, brothers and sisters in Islam as well. Right? That so many a time, what do? We create unnecessary turbulence. Why? Because we want it to be my way or the highway. And because of that, blessings get lifted, subhanAllah. Blessings get lifted. And then we point fingers, but we forget there's three fingers pointing to ourselves. The Quran is teaching us this. Now, at the beginning of today's recitation, our Imam read, لَتَجِدَنَّ أَشَدَّ النَّاسِ عَدَاوَةً لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الْيَهُودِ. Allah says, you will surely find the most intense of people in enmity and hatred and animosity to the Muslims, the Yahud, the Jews. وَالَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا and those who associate partners with Allah, the Quraysh, and their ilk, and their like. And we know in the Ahzab, they all got together, 10,000 to come and annihilate the Muslims and remove Medina off the face of this earth. They have the greatest enmity towards the Muslims. Allah says, وَلَتَجِدَنَّ أَقْرَبَهُمْ مَوَدَّةً and the closest that you will find, the nearest of them in affection to the believers, meaning to the Muslims, are those who say we are the Christians. Allah says, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ قِسِّيسِينَ Allah says, وَذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ مِنْهُمْ قِسِّيسِينَ Allah says, this is because among them are priests and monks and because they're not arrogant. The norm of that culture is humbleness. So this is with regards to the final story of Al-Ma'idah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals verses that are topical in terms of the topics we discussed yesterday, in terms of the legislation. And then He closes it with a discussion that will happen between Him and Isa alayhi salam on the day of Qiyamah. This is a peek into the future. That on the day of Qiyamah, this will happen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals, وَإِذْ قَالَ اللَّهُ يَا عِيسَى وَإِذْ قَالَ اللَّهُ يَا عِيسَى ابْنَ مَرْيَمَ أَأَنْتَ قُلْتَ لِلنَّاسِ اتَّخِذُونِي وَأُمِّيَ إِلَٰهَيْنِ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ. Allah reveals. And remember, we have the challenge. This surah challenges the narratives of both the Jews and the Christians, as we said. And here's the challenge to the narratives of the Christians. Allah is saying on the day of Qiyamah, Allah will call Isa and say, Ya Isa, the son of Maryam, did you tell your people to take you and your mother as a god besides Allah? Isa alayhi salam will respond and say, Qala subhanak, glory be to you. You are perfect, Ya Allah. Ma yakunu li an aqula ma laysa li bihaq. It is not for me to say what I have no right to say. In kuntu qultu, if I said it, faqad alimta, you are the all-knowing, you would know it. I can't stand here and lie and hide anything. You would know it already. Ta'lamu ma fi nafsi. You know what I've said, but not only that, you know what is in me. If the thought existed in my heart, you would know it. وَلَا أَعْلَمُ مَا فِي نَفْسِكَ. And I don't know the unseen. And Isa alayhi salam will praise Allah and say, إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ عَلَّامُ الْغُيُوبِ. That indeed, Ya Allah, you are عَلَّامُ الْغُيُوبِ. You are the one who is knowledgeable over the unseen. Then he will say, Ya Allah, ma qultu lahum, I didn't say to them, except ani'budu Allah rabbi wa rabbakum. Nothing but worship Allah, my Lord and your Lord. Wa kuntu alayhim shahidan, and I was a witness over them, ma dumtu fihim, when I was alive with them. Falamma tawaffaytani, when you raised me, kunta anta raqib alayhim. You were an observer over what they did, Ya Allah. After you raised me to the heavens, this is the correct translation. Some say that this word here, فَلَمَّا تُوَفَّيْتَنِي, meaning when you gave me death. And this is wrong. This word, al-muwafat, has different meanings in the Arabic language. فَلَمَّا تُوَفَّيْتَنِي, you raised me. كُنْتَ أَنْتَ الرَّقِيبُ عَلَيْهِمْ. You saw what they did, Ya Allah. They invented after me. Subhanallah. وَأَنْتَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ شَهِيدٍ. You are upon all a universal witness. إِن تُعَذِّبْهُمْ. Ya Allah, if you punish them, فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ. They are your servants. You can do what you want, when you want, how you want. You are the owner of them. You created them. You brought them out of existence into existence. وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. But if you forgive them, then indeed you are al-Aziz. You are the mighty. Al-Hakim, you are the wise. Now what's interesting here, subhanallah, when you read the Quran, every time you come to a verse in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions Allah can forgive and Allah forgives, it ends with Ghafoorur Rahim. Except here. This is a tip for the Huffaz, so you don't forget. Except here, at the end of this particular surah. Here it's Azizun Hakim, not Ghafoorur Rahim. And the scholars of tafsir explain why. That everywhere when Allah mentions forgiveness, this is in the life of this world before death. But this conversation is happening in the hereafter, when the books are closed and the pens are lifted, and now the deeds are presented. So if Isa is saying to Allah that you are the most forgiving, the most merciful, and if you punish them, they are your slaves, but if you forgive them, you are the mighty one and you are the wise one. That Ya Allah, even though you are mighty and can punish, you are in absolute control of your might. You are perfect in your ability to be mighty. Some people have a might, but the might gets the better of them and they oppress. Meaning, Isa is saying that, Ya Allah, if you punish them, you are just. And if you forgive them, you are just. Subhanallah. This is from the Asrar al-Quran, from the secrets of the Quran, that you gather when you compare a verse with another verse. So Allah tells us about this. And then thereafter, Allah takes us to Surah Al-An'am. And what will make you understand, O servant of Allah, Surah Al-An'am? Surah Al-An'am, the first Meccan surah in our series of the long surahs. The long surahs that we've taken have all been Madani. And here comes Al-An'am, it's a Makki surah. When was it revealed? It was revealed before migration from Mecca to Medina. And the scholars of tafsir say the sixth year after the prophetic mission, meaning 6 years after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam began calling his people to Allah and to Tawheed. And this is the longest surah, or it's dubbed to be the longest surah of Tawheed. And the shortest surah of Tawheed is said to be Surah Al-Ikhlas. Babe, is there another surah of Tawheed in the Quran? Someone will say the middle one. Of course the middle one. You can't get longer than Al-An'am and you can't get shorter than Al-Ikhlas. Is there another one? There is another one. Surah Al-Zumar. This is known as the middle surah of Tawheed. And the scholars say these three, Al-An'am and Zumar and Ikhlas, they are the tafsir of the verse in Surah Al-Fatiha, Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. That you alone do we worship and you alone do we seek forgiveness from. So here already we connect Al-An'am to Surah Al-Fatiha. Imagine that. Now, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, the Meccan verses, they have a known style. Generally, there are exceptions, and Al-An'am is the exception. Because generally, Meccan verses are short and hard-hitting. The message is hard. But the strikes are short and precise. Precision strikes. Think about all the Meccan surahs you know. عَمَّا يَتَسَاءَلُونَ عَنِ النَّبَإِ الْعَظِيمِ الَّذِي هُمْ فِيهِ مُخْتَلِفُونَ وَالنَّازِعَاتِ غَرْقًا وَالنَّاشِطَاتِ نَشْطًا وَالسَّابِحَاتِ سَبْحًا. Can you see? It's like, it's as if, and it's like this, Allah is revealing the Quran to people who have hearts. The heart is special, but it's shackled with the chains of shirk and idolatry. Right? Think of a carver, a person who sculptures things, and he has a big block of ice. When he wants to produce something from this block of ice, does he take a big hammer and smash it? Or he takes a chisel and he slowly taps so that he breaks away what he doesn't want and he keeps what he wants? So this is the idea with the Meccan verses. They're short and hard hitting, similar to the chisel that a person who is sculpturing an ice block uses, so that Allah breaks away the chains and shackles of disbelief and keeps that heart which is pure. That if that heart can experience the environment, it will naturally absorb the message of the Quran. Because the heart is from Allah and the Quran is from Allah. They can't contradict each other. They will only become united. What causes them to contradict is what's around it. Suratul An'am is hard-hitting. Wallahi, it is hard-hitting. But it's different because the verses are long, in that the verses are longer. Subhanallah, in Suratul An'am today we saw this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is revealing in the Meccan period when the Muslims are being persecuted, they're being thrown into a valley, they're being dragged around the desert, they're being lashed just for La ilaha illallah. We spoke about earlier, the truth stands by itself. When Allah reveals in Suratul An'am, wallahi, you can see the truth stands by itself. And wallahi, as our imams were reading, I said, Alhamdulillah, I'm a believer. I'm listening to these verses, wa ana mu'min, I'm a believer. I'm not listening to these verses on the other side. Because subhanallah, Allah reveals with impact. And He reveals with authority. And there's many asalib, mannerisms in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala confirms tawheed and His existence and Him being one and that He is the creator and that He exists and everything that He has done. Subhanallah, phenomenal. You must go and read the meanings of Surah Al-An'am. Honestly, if it doesn't cause you to shake, wallahi, I don't know what will. It's a phenomenal presentation. And especially when you come through verses and verses of the Medinan legislation, and then you come to this that focuses on Tawheed. And let us remember, all of the Quran focuses on preserving five objectives: religion, life, our mind, our wealth, and our lineage. And aside of Surah Al-Fatiha, because all of the Quran exists in Surah Al-Fatiha, when we look at Baqarah, when we look at Al-Imran, when we look at Al-Nisa, when we look at Al-Ma'idah, predominantly, it's the focus in it is on legislation. As Al-Imran didn't have as much, but predominantly there's this relationship with revelation. Okay, maybe we can say Al-Fatiha and Al-Imran. Legislation connected to what? Connected to other matters, our mind, our wealth, and so on and so forth. This particular surah is connected to legislation. Legislation that leads to the preservation of religion. The most important objective of the Sharia. The most important objective of the Quran and the Sunnah. To preserve religion. Without Tawheed, your salah doesn't matter. You staying away from riba and alcohol doesn't matter. Of course it matters, but without Tawheed, that is the greatest sin. Your problem is greater. You're doing riba, your problem is riba, but you have a greater problem, that is disbelief. You disbelieve in Allah. None of your good acts count, because the prerequisite for them to count is submission to one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the surah that we're reading, subhanallah, Al-An'am. That the Quraysh listened to this, and despite them feeling we are stronger, our tribes are bigger, and we have a control of the situation, and all of us are united against Muhammad and his message, the Quran is coming down and saying something totally different. Subhanallah. that anyone who sat down and just listened, and they were Arabs, they knew the Quran was in their language, listen to the way the Quran is coming down, they would definitely feel that, subhanallah, this fight that we're fighting is one that we can lose. Imagine Surah Ar-Rahman when it was revealed, and the Sahaba were saying, once, you know what? The Quraysh haven't listened to the Quran. We need someone to go to the Kaaba and recite the Quran. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud says, I'll do it. They said, no. Not you. We need someone who has a strong tribe. Because if you have a strong tribe, the bond of blood for them is very strong. So even though they don't like you, they won't allow anyone to attack you. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, no, I want to do it. What makes a companion do this? That I have no support but Allah, I want to do it. That despite all the persecution going on, I want to do it. He goes to the Kaaba and he reads Ar-Rahman and they beat him. Until he falls to the ground, downtrodden. The Sahaba come and carry him and take him back. And he's unconscious. And they attend to his wounds. And then when he wakes up, they said to him, we told you this would happen. You didn't listen. And what does he say? He says, wallahi, I am more comfortable than the Quraysh are right now. And if you want, I will be going there tomorrow. They said, la hasbuk. We don't want you to go out again. What does this to a people, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam? It's these verses of Mecca that Allah reveals them with such authority. It empowers ghasban anil jami'. It empowers you irrespective of people's attitude towards you. So this is the reality of the verses we heard today. Now, very quickly, let's try and do some justice. Wallahi, we can't. But let's try and do some justice here to these particular verses that we heard today. Imam Abu Ishaq al-Isfirayini, he mentions that this surah here that we heard today, and we will hear tomorrow, by the way, because the completion is tomorrow, it's full of the principles of Tawheed. Abu Ishaq al-Isfirayini and Imam al-Qurtubi rahimahullah and others from the scholars, they say that this surah is the reference to challenge the narratives of the disbelievers and innovators. That we had a challenge to the narratives of the Jews. We had a challenge to the narratives of the Christians. And here we have a challenge to the narratives of the Quraysh. All the arguments of the Quraysh, Allah is dealing with them, one after the other, in the surah. All their false rationale, Allah is dealing with it, one after the other. And also it is said that this surah has deep evidence proving the existence of Allah, and not only that Allah is an Allah to be worshipped, but also He's ultimately the Creator as well. Okay, so we see all of this here. And we see it from the beginning. Allah opens the surah. Alhamdulillahi alladhi khalaqa as-samawati wal-ard wa ja'ala adh-dhulumati wan-nur. Ja'al here bima'na khalaq. Allah begins alhamd. Which other surah before began with alhamdu? Which surah? Where Allah introduced us to Him. Al-Fatiha. Remember we discussed Allah introduced us to Himself in Al-Fatiha. Allah introduces us to Himself at the beginning of Al-An'am. Alhamdulillah. And we spoke about hamd and what hamd means. This hamd is for Allah. This hamd, this praise is for Allah. He's Al-Hamid. Alhamdulillah. This praise belongs to Him. Who? Alladhi khalaqa as-samawat. The one who created the heavens and the earth. Wa ja'ala adh-dhulumati wan-nur. And He made the darkness and the light. The heavens and the earth and the darkness and the light. Say what you want. All praise belongs to Allah. He did it. Shi'at am abayt. You want to accept this fact or not? It doesn't change the reality. Allah did it. ثم الذين كفروا بربهم يعدلون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then those who disbelieve, they start equating others with Allah. How is this rational? How does this make sense? And not only is the opening Tawheed, but tomorrow night we will hear the closing, subhanallah. The closing is a closing of Tawheed. And inshallah, I'll touch on that tomorrow when we hear the verses. In terms of the unique aspects, it is said to be the surah that was revealed in completion. In one chunk, Allah revealed the surah. And there are many weak narrations about this, but in one acceptable narration, Allah knows best, as reported by Imam Al-Hakim, he mentions that Allah revealed Al-An'am in one chunk. In one chunk. Imagine the volume of verses coming down. And 500 angels accompanied his revelation in a celebratory manner. Subhanallah. That, O servant of Allah, you might be alone on earth, but you're not alone. You have angels who follow you. You have angels that are with you. You can't just see them. Disbelief, falsehood might be in abundance around you, and you might look around and only see it, but there's a creation that you can't see that are with you. They surround you, they support you, they make dua for you, they ask Allah to bless you. That when these verses came down, the angels were celebrating. They said, we have to go down with it. Subhanallah. Just like when your daughter's getting married or your son's getting married, you don't send them by themselves, isn't it? You're happy for them, you want to be with them. You go with them. Similarly, the angel said, this support that Allah is revealing from the skies for a persecuted people who we love and support, we're going to go down with these verses. This is the reality of tawheed. This is the reality that empowers you. Subhanallah. This is what makes grown men cry. And what makes people who seem to be weak stand up and defend the truth, fearing nothing but their Lord. It's tawheed. This is what makes Sahaba like Umar, who yesterday were enemies to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in an instant, he says to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Alasna ala al-haqq? Are we not upon the truth?" He said, "Bala, yes." So why are we praying in secret? We will go and pray by the Kaaba. Umar, the story is disputed about how he accepted Islam. But for those who say it's acceptable, he left the Quraysh telling them he's so angry he's going to kill Muhammad. And the Quraysh were happy that, oh wow, today the matter is going to come to an end. And then when he suddenly appears, they all come out waiting to meet him and greet him and find out what happened. And he says, "I'm a Muslim, I did the shahada, ashadu an la ilaha illallah." What makes people do this? This is the reality of tawheed. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. So this is the reality. It came down in one chunk with 500 angels following it, and Allah knows best. From its unique matters is that despite the length of the surah, there's only one story in it. And that story was read by Hafiz, alhamdulillah, today. And imagine, that story you can guess is a story about tawheed. The story of Ibrahim with his father. When he said to his father, "Atattakhiduna asnaman aliha?" Are you taking these idols as gods? "Inni araka wa qawmaka fi dhalalin mubin." I see you and your people in a plain error. And then Allah tells us when he went to Sham, the Levant, thinking he'll find a people worshipping Allah, and he found them worshipping the cosmos. He found them worshipping the sun and the moon and the stars. And he tried first with his father through critical thinking, instigating critical thinking to make them think it didn't work, when he smashed the idols and left the big one alive with the tool. And when they said, "Who did this?" He said, "Us, the big one," to instigate thought. That, come on, it doesn't make sense. If you worship this, go ask him, but he can't speak, he can't move. Then he went to the Levant and saw them worshipping these stars, the sun and the moon and the stars. So he said when he saw the stars, "This is my Lord." And then when he went, he saw the moon. He says, "The moon's bigger. This is my Lord." And then when the sun came out and made the moon and the stars disappear, he goes, "This is my Lord." And then when the sun disappeared, he goes, "How can a Lord appear and disappear? Rather, I worship the creator of it all." These are stories of tawheed. And the scholars have deduced from this that in your pursuit to make people believe in one Allah, it's permissible to say something, ظاهره كفر, that it's apparent is disbelief. Because when he said, "This is my Lord," the apparent meaning of this statement is disbelief. But obviously in his heart, he didn't believe it. His objective was to create a means for them to think about their actions. That's a side point, subhanAllah, like I said, there's so much. So there's only one story, subhanAllah, here. And it's a story that proves Allah's existence. When we look at the instructional style in Surah Al-An'am, wallahi, today we heard huwa, huwa, qul, subhanallah. You can deduce from this that there's two approaches in Surah Al-An'am in dealing with the people's narratives. One is a confirmationary approach, where Allah reveals saying it as it is. And if you count, there's a search that you can do on some of the apps. If you count the amount of times huwa has been used with regards to Allah, I came across at least 30 times in Surah Al-An'am where huwa was used. Huwa meaning he is. This is who Allah is. He is. Allah is just revealing it as a reality. This is a fact. Doesn't matter what you say. He, huwa. This was revealed. So this, again, is from the instructional style of Surah Al-An'am. And Allah, through this, introduces himself to us. For example, Allah says, هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُم مِّن طِينٍ ثُمَّ قَضَى أَجَلًا وَأَجَلٌ مُسَمَّا عِنْدَهُ ثُمَّ أَنْتُمْ تَمْتَرُونَ. It is He who created you from clay and then decreed a term and a specified time to Him. Then still you are in dispute. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَهُوَ اللَّهُ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَفِي الْأَرْضِ يَعْلَمُ سِرَّكُمْ وَجَهْرَكُمْ وَيَعْلَمُ مَا تَكْسِبُونَ. And He is Allah, the only deity in the heavens and the earth. He knows your secret and what you make public, and He knows that which you earn. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَهُ مَا سَكَنَ فِي اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. And to Him belongs that which reposes by night and by day, and He is the all-hearing and the all-knowing. Fact. Allah reveals this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِن يَمْسَسْكَ اللَّهُ بِضُرٍّ فَلَا كَاشِفَ لَهُ إِلَّا هُ. And if Allah should touch you with adversity, there is no one who can remove it off you except Him. وَإِن يَمْسَسْكَ بِخَيْرٍ فَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. هُوَ again. And Allah says, and if He touches you with good and benefit, then He is over everything able. Subhanah. He says, وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ. Again, وَهُوَ. وَهُوَ الْحَكِيمُ الْخَبِيرُ. And He is the subjugator over His servants. And He is the wise and the one who is acquainted with all. And He says,
وَإِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّا هُوَ.
Subhanallah. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ. And with Him are the keys of the heavens and the earth, the keys of the unseen. None knows them except Him.
وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِن وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا.
Allah says, not a leaf falls, but He knows it.
وَلَا حَبَّةٍ فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْأَرْضِ وَلَا رَطْبٍ وَلَا يَابِسٍ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ.
Subhanallah. Allah says, and no grain is there within the darknesses of the earth, and no moist or dry thing, but that it is well written and recorded in a clear record. Its knowledge is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Verse after verse, imagine you understand this and the Imam is reading, what happens to you in the salah? You don't think about time. You don't think about, you are in a meeting with your Lord. You are in a meeting where you're being introduced to your Lord. So this is the confirmationary manner. And then we see the debate mannerism present as well. I don't like to say the argumentative manner, because the Quran is above this type of usloob and this kind of approach. But the debate where time and time again we heard the Imam saying, قُلْ قُلْ. They say this, قُلْ, say to them. They say this, قُلْ, say to them. It's a debate. We see Surah Al-An'am filled with this. For example,
قُلْ لِمَنْ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ قُلْ لِلَّهِ.
Say to whom belongs whatever is in the heavens and the earth. Say to them, it is Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
قُلْ أَغَيْرَ اللَّهِ أَتَّخِذُ وَلِيًّا فَاطِرِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَهُوَ يُطْعِمُ وَلَا يُطْعَمُ.
Say, is it other than Allah I should take as a protector, the creator of the heavens and the earth, while it is He who feeds and He is not fed? So we see this again. قُلْ. In fact, if we count, and a brief search showed that at least 42 times in the surah, Allah has mentioned this style of approach with the qul, this debate kind of genre or this debate approach being used to deal with the misconceptions of the Quraysh and proving Allah being Allah and that He exists and He's the creator and the only one worthy of worship. La ilaha illallah. We will stop here today, but there's more tomorrow. This is just a taster till tomorrow. But before you leave, this is a last but not least, I want to try something effective, because in the salah, or when I was even looking at the surah today, because I read the surah to prepare the lesson for you all before the taraweeh, then in the taraweeh I try and fill the gaps, but subhanallah, I felt there was a part, and even when the imam and hafiz alhamdulillah was reading it, I felt it's important that you all hear it one after the other, because subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is introducing Himself to us, and this is part and parcel of Surah Al-An'am. إِنَّ اللَّهَ فَالِقُ الْحَبِّ وَالنَّوَى. You have your mushaf with you? No, just verse after verse, inshallah. First verse, inshallah.
إِنَّ اللَّهَ فَالِقُ الْحَبِّ وَالنَّوَى يُخْرِجُ الْحَيَّ مِنَ الْمَيِّتِ وَمُخْرِجُ الْمَيِّتِ مِنَ الْحَيِّ ذَلِكُمُ اللَّهُ فَأَنَّى تُؤْفَكُونَ.
Indeed, Allah is one who causes seeds and fruit stones to sprout. He brings forth the living from the dead and the dead from the living. That is Allah. How can you then be deluded from the truth?
فالق الإصباح وجعل الليل سكنا والشمس والقمر حسبانا ذلك تقدير العزيز العليم.
He makes the dawn break, He makes the night for rest, and He made the sun and the moon to a precise measure. That is the design of the Almighty, the All-Knowing.
وَهُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ النُّجُومَ لِتَهْتَدُوا بِهَا فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ قَدْ فَصَّلَّ الْآيَاتِ لِقَوْمٍ يَعْلَمُونَ.
It is He who made the stars so that they can guide you when land and sea are dark. We have made the signs clear for those who have knowledge.
وَهُوَ الَّذِي أَنْشَأَكُمْ مِنْ نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ فَمُسْتَقَرٌ وَمُسْتَوْدَعٌ قَدْ فَصَّلَّ الْآيَاتِ لِقَوْمٍ يَفْقَهُونَ.
It is He who first produced you from a single soul, then gave you a place to stay in life and a resting place after death. We have made our revelations clear to those who understand.
وهو الذي أنزل من السماء ماء فأخرجنا به نبات كل شيء فأخرجنا منه خضرا نخرج منه حبا متراكبا ومن النخل من طلعها قنوان دانية وجنات من أعناب والزيتون والزيتون والرمان مشتبها وغير متشابه انظروا إلى ثمره إذا أثمر وينعه إن في ذلكم لآيات لقوم يؤمنون.
And He is the one who sends down rain from the sky, causing all kinds of plants to grow, producing green stalks from which we bring forth clustered grain. And from palm trees come clusters of dates hanging within reach. They are also gardens of grapevines, olives and pomegranates, similar in shape but dissimilar in taste. Look at their fruit as it yields and ripens. Indeed, in these are signs for people who believe. O servants of Allah and O children of Adam, I leave you with an introduction to your Lord. تقبل الله منا ومنكم صالح الأعمال هذا والله أعلم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.